questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Vasudev Krishna. Punishan persons. Trin three. Punati purify. He indeed. Vaktaram the speaker, such as Shukadeva Goswami. Aprachakam an inquisitive hearer, like Maharaja Parikshit. Shrotim, and between them, the listeners hearing about the topics. Tatpadasalilam yata. Exactly as the entire world is purified by the Ganges water, emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu. So, translation. The Ganges emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudeva Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Chilprabhupada Ki Jai. It is said, Tasmad Gurum Prabhupada Giyashu Shreya Uttavam. It's from the Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text 21. Those interested in understanding transcendental subject matters as the goal of life must approach the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Pariksit is surrendered to the right personality, Shukadeva Goswami, for enlightenment in Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead, who has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is a record of such activities, and Bhagavad Gita is the record of Vasudeva speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna Conscious Movement is full of Vasudeva Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, and anyone who preaches will be purified. So, Vasudeva Katha Prashna Purusham Strin Punatihi Vaktaram Rajakam Shrokshrin Tatpada Salilam Yata. So Omagana Timirandasha Gananjana Shrakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here you have what's called a simile or an analogy. It says in this particular verse and purport that the comparison is given to the Ganges because the Ganges purifies in three ways: upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. And also the Acharyas explain the Ganges purifies whether you take it on your head, you drink it, or you do both. These are the three things mentioned here. Also purifies whether you sprinkle it on others, whether you get it sprinkled on you, or you just happen to be present at the same time. So, of course, we do have the verse in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that says, if you really want to get purified, association with great devotees is more purifying than the Ganges. It's in the first canto, first chapter. Swardunyapo nishevaya, that you can actually get repeated bathings in the Ganges, but those repeated bathings in the Ganges are not as purifying as one association or one instant of association with a pure devotee. You know, that's that famous verse. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Therefore, one is advised to approach a guru and ask questions. And as Prabhupada here quotes in the purport, Tasmad Guru Prapadyeja Jiyasu Shreya Uttamam Shabde Pareja Nishnatam Ramana Uprasat Shrayam. That one must, the imperative form of in Sanskrit is there. Imperative means one has to do it. One must approach a spiritual master and who is realized, he gives, in this verse there's actually three prerequisites for a bona fide spiritual master. He must have realized the conclusions of the Vedic literatures, be able to convince others about that, and also he must have left all other considerations. In other words, his whole life has to be dedicated to Krishna consciousness. So three things. And there's another list, another verse I'm going to give in a second. Three things. You understand? He must have realized the Vedic conclusions, be able to convince others about the Vedic conclusions. In other words, make devotees. Like, of course, that was evidence for Srila Prabhupada's exalted position. Prabhupada was able to make devotees. He was like a touchstone. A touchstone means that anyone who comes in contact with such a person becomes like gold or becomes transformed. Actually, Prabhupada said that his miracle was he was able to change hippies into, does anyone remember? Happiness. So those are the three qualities. Of course, there's another verse from the Mundaka Upanishad that's very similar. Tat viganartam sagarameva avigachet samit pani shrochyam brahmanishtam. That's from the Mundaka Upanishad. It says one must, again it's in the imperative form, one must approach a spiritual master. Tat viganartam sagarameva avigachet. To understand or to get realization, and one must serve the spiritual master by humbly fetching water, submit pani, and then shrotriyam, one must hear submissively, and finally brahmanishtam. And also, those are the qualities of a spiritual master. One has to serve the spiritual master, and one has to serve humbly. Well, and the spiritual master has to be serving his spiritual master. It's not only that you serve his spiritual master, but the spiritual master has to serve his spiritual master. The spiritual master has to have heard from his guru, and the spiritual master has to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So those qualities apply both to a devotee or disciple and to the guru according to the Mundaka Upanishad. And of course, we have the verse from the Gita. Does anyone know the Gita? About the verse about one must approach a spiritual master? Tadviri Pariprathena Pariprasnena Sevaya. That one must approach a spiritual master. Same, so it's the same topic. And inquire submissively, right? So let's talk about inquiry, because here the prashna. Prashna means, in Sanskrit, you know, questions. So, if we look at the whole Vedic literature, it's basically all questions and answers of disciples asking questions and gurus answering them. I mean, even if you go to the Upanishads, you will find that you have different personalities asking questions of sages. And actually, in one of the Upanishads, several of the Upanishads, one of the sages is a lady. It's interesting, because in ISKCON we talk about whether there should be lady gurus. You ever heard about that topic before? So, Gargi is the daughter of Gargamuni, anyway. And so she's a lady guru. And she's in many of the Upanishads, and the Upanishads are some of the oldest Vedic literatures. She's teaching to her disciples, or teaching or responding to questions. So, let's talk about Srila Prabhupada's books. Like, where are the questions and answers or questions in Srila Prabhupada's books? And that, let's talk about the Bhagavatam specifically. The Bhagavatam basically starts with questions. Isn't it? The first chapter of the Bhagavatam is what? Does anyone know what the first chapter of the Bhagavatam is? Questions by the sages. You know, the sages at Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi, they're actually inquiring. What are they inquiring in the beginning? They're inquiring, you know, what is the best thing in this age of Kali, you know? And they don't quite understand at that point until Suta Goswami comes. So they're asking Suta Goswami, because they've assembled to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice. That's a long sacrifice. So they've assembled to perform a sacrifice, a 1,000-year sacrifice, and they've assembled at Naimisharanya, and Suta Goswami, the sages are basically, it's described in the Bhagavatam, the sages are coughing from all the smoke from their sacrifices. And they don't really know what is the ultimate goal. So they're asking Suta Goswami different questions in this first chapter. There's six questions that are asked in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam. The first one is, explain what is most beneficial. What is the actual self-interest, beneficial interest of the living entities? I mean, these are important questions. I mean, sometimes people ask nonsense questions of the guru. They ask questions like, is there snow in the spiritual world? Isn't it? You know, what's the difference? What's the difference? Is there snow in the spiritual world? I was listening to one devotee asked Prabhupada a question, how many forms does Tulsi Devi have? And Prabhupada just blasted the devotee. What are you asking this such a question for? Because Prabhupada actually said that the only question he asked his guru was, how can I serve you? It's interesting. How can I serve you? So, and then another time, a devotee asked Prabhupada a question that was intruding on Prabhupada's intimate mood. He asked Prabhupada, do you ever feel intense separation from your spiritual master? And Prabhupada answered, that question you don't need to ask. You know, just like, whack. What the hell are you looking into my private life for? So anyway, that's an interesting answer to that question. So anyway, so the sages teach us what questions to ask in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, what is the ultimate benefit of human life? And what is the second question is, what is the essence of the scriptures? Because as we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, that the Vedas are mainly dealing with what? The three modes of nature. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nis Trigunya Bhavarjana, Nirvan Bhavnik Nusatvashto, Nir Yoga Satvava. He says the Vedas are mainly dealing with the three modes of nature. You should rise above these things. So, and also Krishna in the Gita talks about the flowery words of the Vedas. So the Vedas are, you know, the Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upasanakanda. That means Karmakanda, which generally all your Brahmins here or priests here in Fiji, they're mostly Karmakandas, right? They're mostly interested in material upliftment. Oh, you do this sacrifice and I'll get rid of your ghosts, like we were talking about last night. Or you do the sacrifice and you'll become rich. You do a sacrifice for Lakshmi and your business will be successful. This mostly, isn't it? This is Fiji standard. So there's many different scriptures. And so we are interested in Upasana, the scriptures that recommend worship of Krishna. And why are there other scriptures? Because people are not on the high platform. And so you got to have something for everyone. So therefore they're asking, what is the essence of scriptures? Remember, first question is, what is the purpose of human life? What is the most beneficial thing? Second thing is, what is the essence of the scriptures? Third thing is, What is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? That's the third question they ask. Why did Krishna come? Very interesting question. Because as we were discussing during Gaur Purnima, Krishna has hidden purposes and also, let's say, purposes that everybody knows about, like Vrijanaya, Sadunam, Vinachaya, Chadushkutam. Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants, protect the devotees, and establish religious principles. But he also has his own purpose. He comes to enjoy, or Lord Chaitanya. He came to understand Radharani's love for him. He came to enjoy from the position of a devotee. And he came to see himself from Radharani's point of view. So in this way, they ask, why did Krishna come down? Very important question. So we can learn from them. So the fourth question is, tell us about the pastimes of Krishna. That's very nice. Of course, Sukadeva Goswami does not get into Krishna's pastimes until the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because unless people are free from lust, then they're not properly able to understand. The Srimad Bhagavatam is described as like a body. There's the feet of the Lord are the first canto, and then you gradually go up to the 10th canto, which is the smiling face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the fourth question. The fifth question is, tell us the pastimes of the acharyas. Of the avatars. We want to know about the pastimes of the avatars. So very wonderful questions. And the final question is, who or by whom is Dharma protected, right? Now that Krishna has gone to his abode. Wow. And of course that question is answered by the statements later on in the Bhagavatam, actually specifically the 11th canto and 12th canto that talk about the Kali Yuga and Krishna Varnam, Krishna Krishnam, Sango, Pangas, Raparshanam, Yagyai, Sankirtana, Prayar, Yajanti, Sumedasa. That in this age of Kali, religious principles, those who have intelligence, they worship the Lord how? By chanting Hare Krishna. In this age, Krishna does not appear in a blackish form, but appears in a golden form. This is the meaning of that. Anyway, and so that's the beginning of Bhagavatam. Beginning of Bhagavatam is questions. And then also when you get to Parikshit Maharaj, the story of Parikshit Maharaj, which comes right afterwards, then it's also questions. Because Parikshit Maharaj is asking, he's surrounded by these sages too. Not the sages at Naimisharanya, but other sages. And he's asking, what is the purpose of life? And what is the purpose at the time? What should one do at the time of death, right? And the sages don't know how to answer him. Until what? Sukadeva Goswami comes. So it's very similar to the sages at Naimisharanya. Sages at Naimisharanya are doing all these fire sacrifices, getting smoke in their eyes. And then Sutta Goswami comes. And Sutta Goswami, of course, is the son of Brahmaharshana Sutta. And the sages blessed him with a long life because basically Balaram killed his father. It's nice, you know. Guru Maharaj, what happened to your father? Well, Balaram killed him. It's a nice family history. Anyway, so then you got Parikshit Maharaj asking Sukadeva those questions. And he also asked Sukadeva other questions too. Tell me about the creation. Because the Bhagavatam, being a Mahapurana, deals not only with the Supreme Personality of Godhead's activities in the spiritual world, but also deals with the creation, the subsequent creation, the living entities creation. I mean, all these things are necessary to be a Mahapurana. And so that's the Bhagavatam. And so then you have more questions throughout the whole Bhagavatam is just questions. Then you have, later on in the third canto, you have Vidura asking questions first of Uddhava. about the Lord and the Lord, what's happening with the Lord and the Lord's associates. And then, because later on, he asked the question of Uddhava. Uddhava answers some questions. And then later on, Maitreya Muni comes. And Maitreya Muni is older than Uddhava, so there's seniority. And so then Vidura is asking questions of Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Muni's telling all these different, the answers to all these questions. And then later on, then you go to the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, there's many questions that I'm leaving out. The fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have Jatabharata and Maharaj Rahugana. That's a big question and answer thing. Jatabharata is the third incarnation of Bhart Maharaj. You all know that story? Bhart Maharaj was the son of Lord Rishabhadev. The fifth canto starts with Lord Rishabhadev having 100 sons. And Bhart Maharaj is the head of all those sons. Also, there's the Navayogendras who are his sons. And he gives them instruction as the guru, the natural guru. He tells them, Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kashtam kamam arhate vidbhujam. He says to his children, don't act like pigs, basically. What he called stool eaters. He says, Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke. Anyway, so that's the beginning of the fifth canto. And so then you have Bhart Maharaj, who is the head, who is the king. And Bhart Maharaj renounces the kingdom, becomes a deer because he's attached to a deer. Then he figures out, I better keep quiet my next life. I better not open my mouth and speak any prajalpa. Better be careful. So he takes birth as Jatabharata, who is actually dumb, so nobody can put him into Maya. If you act stupid, nobody can put you in Maya. What? Of course. There was a bunch of people, we were walking on the road yesterday, this morning, and there were two people acting stupid on the road, but they were in Maya, because they had drank kava the night before. But anyway, so Jatabharata decides not to speak, so no one can put him into Maya. He acts stupid, so nobody can engage him in business. He acts stupid, so nobody gets him married. And so he's carrying the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana, and Maharaj Rahugana discovers, because Jatabharata is trying to avoid stepping on ants, that here's a great devotee. And they have this whole discussion about the purpose of life. And finally, Jatabharata answers, Rahugana tat tapasana yati nachesya nirvapanat grahadva. Nachanda Silai Janaiva Jalagri Surya Vanamahatparu Jyoti Shekham. He said, if you want to become Krishna conscious, here's the answer. You gotta take the dust of the feet of a great devotee. He said, not by austerity, not by being a good brahmachari, not by being a good grahasta, not by being a good sannyasi. So there's that question and answer going on there. So the point I'm making is that Bhagavatam is full of questions and answers. Later on, in the sixth canto, we're just going through the Bhagavatam quickly. The sixth canto, you start off with more questions and answers. And the question there, the question Parikshit Maharaj raises, is he has just heard the end of the fifth canto, which deals with the hells, all the punishments the living entities undergo. And so he asked the question, how can the living entity be freed from hell, from these punishments? Which is a good question. That's a compassionate question. And then Parikshit Maharaj gives him a wrong answer. Shukadev Goswami gives him a wrong answer. Parikshit Maharaj asks the question, and Shukadev Goswami gives the wrong answer, which is interesting. Because he's testing his disciple. Sometimes the guru will actually give a wrong answer to see if the disciple is attentive. Like if the disciple asks, what is my duty in life, Guru Maharaj? And the Guru Maharaj says, your duty is to enjoy your senses. You know it's the wrong answer. So Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadev Goswami, how to free people from hell? And Shukadev Goswami basically answers in the beginning of sixth canto, by atonement, which is called prayaschitta. And then Maharaj Pariksit says, I don't agree, Guru Maharaj, in a humble way. He said, because when people perform atonement, then they go out and do the same thing later on. It's like a drunkard. So when he gets drunk, they wake up the next morning, they feel real bad. They apologize for everything they did the night before. And then next Saturday, they get drunk again. That's called a Kunjara Sotra, an elephant's bathing. Elephant goes bathing, and then he sprinkles dust on himself after he comes out of the water. So it's an interesting discussion between guru and disciple in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. And then Pariksit Maharaj says, I really want to know the answer. And then Shukadeva Goswami gives him the actual answer, which is, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jangan Mangalam Aghasam Mahapaktam Apikaravya Vijakantaka Nishkatam. That the actual way of atonement, so these are all important questions and answers, but the actual way of atonement is Sankirtan, chanting the Lord's holy names. Not prayaschitta, not sleeping on a bed of nails, not reducing your eating, not putting yourself in fire in the middle of summer, or ice in the middle of winter. It says Sankirtan, chanting the Lord's holy names. So by these question and answers, everything is becoming elaborated on. So the point I'm making is the Bhagavata and the Gita are full of questions and answers. Then you get to the seventh canto, and Pariksit Maharaj is also asking another question that in the whole seventh canto is actually an answer to Pariksit Maharaj's question in the beginning of the seventh canto. What is the question? Why is the Lord unequal? Why is he so mean to the demons? You understand? And why is he nice to the devotees? I mean, that's the beginning question of the seventh canto. You know, why is the Lord mean to, you know, he's supposed to be equal. He says in the Gita, what is it? Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stinapriha. I'm equal to everyone. No one is especially my friend or dear to me, and no one is my enemy. And so, at that point, Pariksit Maharaj says, why? And then Shukadeva Goswami explains, basically explaining that, you know, when you get killed by the Lord, you get liberation. Like you have Aranyakashipu. Then he explains how Aranyakashipu and Aranyaksha, they were actually part of the Lord's pastimes, and they were devotees, and they weren't actually demons, and this was the Lord's leela. Anyway, so the seventh canto is basically an explanation of that particular question. Usually in the beginning of the canto, or sometimes in the middle, you have these questions that are answered by the rest of the chapters. And then, So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam in a nutshell. And then the tenth canto, of course, is the answer to the sage's questions in the beginning. Please tell us about the Lord's pastimes. So, as far as we are concerned, we should engage in questions too. And as described in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text 12, that pure devotional service is so potent that simply hearing about it, questioning about it, chanting its glories, meditating on it, or performing it, or praising the service of others, even if you happen to be a demon, you become purified. So the questions are very important. So one must learn to ask questions of the spiritual master, of the great saintly persons, so that the elaboration. What questions should we ask? We can ask the question Prabhupada asked the spiritual master, which is, how can I serve you? We can ask the question, please tell us about the Lord's pastimes. This is another nice question we can ask. We can ask the questions, how do I do a particular service? Please instruct me how to do a particular service. So this is the interaction we should have with great saintly persons. We don't ask the spiritual master, how do you invest in the stock market? That's actually one of the questions on the ISKCON disciple course. Questions you should ask the spiritual master, and not material questions. Or politics. Who do you believe? Who are you voting for in the next election? This is not an appropriate question. So anyway, so we must learn to ask questions. And as we read the Vedic literatures, just to summarize, the whole Vedic literature is full of questions and answers. So any questions? That's funny. That's actually funny. Any questions or comments? We talked about questions and answers. So any questions or comments? Yes, Rupanuga. Yeah. The last what?
The last stroke.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and actually, the holy name and the Bhagavatam. Because the answer to the sage's questions of the first chapter is like, whom are... It's interesting. The question is not by what are religious principles protected. The question is by whom. In other words, there's a person there. So the Bhagavatam, this is very interesting, because generally the devotees quote this verse saying, by what are religious principles protected? But it's not. By whom are religious principles protected? Whom means person. And so you got the holy name, which is a person, and the Bhagavatam. When Krishna ascended to his abode, the Bhagavatam, then the Bhagavatam protects one, and which is the person. The Bhagavatam is a person. And we have the person Bhagavat too. The book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. Yes, so the holy name is the answer to that question and the Bhagavatam is the answer. So, any other questions or comments? Yes. Yes, that's also important. Like, Sanatana, one should put a straw in his teeth, like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they said, people think that we are educated, but we don't know anything. But of course, Prabhupada said, one should question like one is a fool before that, but one shouldn't be a fool. I was just listening to a discussion that Srila Tamal Krishnamaraj was giving. It was very interesting. And of course, he's a great pure devotee of the Lord, so this is a pastime. Prabhupada was fighting for this property in Bombay. You all know about that. And the contract expired. So then Prabhupada is a very interesting and actually funny story. Then Prabhupada thought we have to renew the contract. So he called Mr. Nair, who is the person selling the land, to where he was. And Mr. Nair came with his guru, because his guru was supposed to protect him from Prabhupada's bewildering him. That's good. You bring your guru when you don't want to get bewildered. So anyway, so he brought his guru, and Prabhupada gave them all prasadam, and after prasadam, Prabhupada was yawning. You know, yawning? Deliberately. He wasn't tired. He was yawning. And then Mr. Nair said, oh, Swamiji, you're tired. You should go to rest. And Prabhupada said, yes, let's go. I'm tired. Prabhupada never said he was tired. You know, you never hear Prabhupada saying that. So anyway, so Prabhupada goes in his room, doesn't go to sleep. Mr. Nair and his guru go to sleep. And Prabhupada tells Tamal Krishna Maharaj, go in the room and wake Mr. Nair up, but don't wake up the guru. So you heard this story before, Rob. So they wake Mr. Nair up. Mr. Nair comes out. Ms. Nair, right? Ms. Nair is actually, he comes out and Prabhupada just preaches to him and bewilders him completely, and he signs the contract again. And that's very interesting. But that's not the reason I'm telling the story. So then, after that, Prabhupada goes away, and Mr. Nair's lawyers and our lawyers, which happen to be being bribed by Mr. Nair, convince Srila Gurudev Tamal Krishna Maharaj to get a, you know, sign off the contract, you know, to get rid of the contract. So Prabhupada, anyway, that, so they sign, they tear up the contract, basically, because the lawyers who were working for us were actually working for Mr. Nair. So then Prabhupada calls and says, what's happening with the contract? And he said, well, our lawyers told us to, you know, negate it. And the only thing that Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj heard was click. Prabhupada came and Prabhupada clicked the phone down, you know, just hung up. He was so upset. And then Prabhupada came back. He was able to bring the contract back. Anyway, that's another story. But he chastised. You heard that story before, right? You didn't hear the story? He chastised his disciple, which is actually the business of the guru, to chastise the disciple. He chastised him, called him foolish. And it said that for the next few months, Prabhupada was really heavy like that. So this is the relationship between guru and disciple, that one has to be humble. Sometimes one will make mistakes, and the guru chastises one, and one has to be ready to hear that chastisement and not go away. And so Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj stayed with Prabhupada, serving Prabhupada enthusiastically. He said it was the most intense time of his life when Prabhupada was really upset like that. So anyway, so that's the relationship of guru-disciple. One has to be ready to take correction. Not only ask questions, hear the answers to the questions, but ready to take chastisement and corrections. Nowadays, we don't find so many disciples like that. Nowadays, you know, you give chastisement, they say, they report you to the police. They, my guru is abusing me. And the police come and arrest you for abusing the disciple. So I have to be very careful. Anyway, so, any questions? Jambava. It's hard to hear. What? Speak louder. I mean, you got fans going here, you know, just light noise. Men were what? Oh, men were made in the women, and women are made in the image of Radharani. Yes. So women are better than men. Yes. Not able to do what? I don't quite like you.
Human beings are not able to sense the danger of a cycle or a...
Yeah. Yes, they're made in the image of God, but they're not God. You know, an image of God means we have two hands, two legs, one head, one nose, and two ears, and one mouth. It doesn't mean we look like God. You could say, I was made in the image of God. I'm all attractive. So the body, they're just the basic features are there in God's body. You know, just the basic thing. But the proportions are different. Krishna has lotus eyes. Our eyes are like marbles. Right? Krishna has lotus feet.
He's asking Maharaj, how is it possible that animals are able to sense the danger?
It's hard to hear. What?
How come animals are able to sense the danger where the human people?
Why don't you come up and make, because it's...
No.
Animals
are able to sense danger.
Yes. Oh yeah, animals are better, like birds, they know when a cyclone is coming. Yes, because each and every living entity, according to their desire, gets senses. But this is just the material world. Animals are better at us, at experiencing the five senses. Like dogs, they can hear things from far away, or they smell things. Like a dog, a male dog can smell when a female dog is romantic. And they come here on the street, right? Thousands of them come on the street to have a swayamvara for the dog, for the female dog. I mean, so their nose is better, their ears are better. Some animals can run faster than us. But the human being has one facility, a faculty, that the other animals don't have, which is the ability to discriminate between right and wrong. So the human body is higher in that respect. I mean, if God had given us a nose like a dog, that would be kind of funny. Human being with a dog's nose on. Anyway, so if God had given us nose like a dog, or, you know, or the lust like a pigeon, we'd be in trouble. Isn't it? We'd be in big trouble. Or ears, you know, like a dog or whatever, or eyes like a vulture. Like Prabhupada said, a vulture can see, isn't it? He flies very high, and what is he looking for? Dead bodies. So we'd be in trouble. I don't want senses like that. I want senses that will help me become Krishna conscious. That's why. That's a blessing not to have that, all those things, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to be flying in the air like a bird. Life would be too enjoyable then, right? I mean, look how lusty a pigeon is. Like Prabhupada said, a pigeon can have sex like, 100 times a day. And so, you know, who wants a body like that? It'd be horrible. So we get a body that's limited in many ways and also miserable in many ways. It's nice to have miseries. Queen Kunti prays for more miseries. Otherwise, we forget about the purpose of life, isn't it? I mean, if you were very handsome or beautiful and strong and super intelligent, you wouldn't be sitting here in the Hare Krishna temple. You'd be a Bollywood star. And everybody would be bowing down to you. So we want to bow down to Krishna, not bow down to us. So therefore, I'm happy I don't have that ability. I'd be in trouble. Can you imagine if any of us look like a Bollywood star? What would happen? Everybody would go, wow. Oh. You know, the ladies, oh, how beautiful. That's animal life. Like, all the dog knows to do when it sees something, it can either eat something, fight with it, or have sex with it. Do we want life like that? I don't think so. Anyway, on that happy note, all glories to Divine Grace, to the Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada teacher.